Boomer, Warner, Pinder, Steinberg, and Kerr. Calgary Sports Authorities. Only on Sportsnet 960. All day long, we do the searching, the editing, the filtering. We find the good stuff, add some opinion, and call it Sportsnet 960 Headlines.
Sportsnet 960 Headlines, brought to you by Glenmore Audi. The Land of Quattro sales event is on. Get lease and finance rates from 0.9% and Quattro bonus up to $4,000. Visit GlenmoreAudi.com.
Coming up a little later on in the hour, we'll convene our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. Derek Wills will join us. But right now, Will Nault, who we believe is in the studio.
Oh, you're never going to live this one down,
No,
Will.
He's there. I heard him. He's there. He joins us now with headlines.
Slow down there, champ.
The first time. It was funny.
I was trying to find the
time.
Clip, and I should have just been talking the whole time.
You can't use that on me.
No, I was trying to find the clip.
Especially after he's already done.
Slow down there, champ.
Why are you on the phone right now?
It's amazing, isn't it? I sometimes feel like I'm in.
I don't know if you guys know this, but the Flames play tonight at home against the Minnesota Wild. It'll be Chad Johnson between the pipes. His ninth start over the past 11 games. He had three shutouts in the month of November. The first Flames goaltender to do that since the late 90s, and he was asked today about that month of November and how he looks at it.
I feel good about winning, and then obviously you get a shutout, it's a bonus, but that's something I think you look back on at the end of the season, those little accomplishments. Like, I'm focused on the day and the process, and today we play in Minnesota. It's, you know, you don't have time to really sit back and think about what you did yesterday, because today is right in front of you, and that's sort of my mindset. So I'm sure, like, when I look back on, you know, the season and my career and whatever else, then I'll look at all the stats and break everything down and, you know, overanalyze everything and that stuff. But I don't do that right now. I just take care of today, and that's sort of it.
Not going to look at it. He wants to look at that when he retires. His first shutout of the year came against the Minnesota Wild. 1-0 was the score. That, of course, also the game where Johnny Gaudreau broke his finger. So the Flames, they're going to attack the Wild. Here's Troy Brouwer.
You never want to see one of your players go down, especially one of your star players. And he's the guy that we need in our lineup. But unfortunately, sometimes those things happen. So, we're going to play our game hard tonight. But we've got a win that we really need to focus on.
So the Flames aren't too worried about going after the man who apparently broke Gaudreau's finger. His name is Eric Staal. The Wild forward was asked about if he's looking out for some revenge for Johnny Gaudreau.
Hopefully a win for us. I mean, that's the main focus for our group, but you never know what's going to happen. You go out and prepare the same way regardless. Obviously, it's unfortunate player of his caliber to go down and that injury to happen, but, I mean, it's part of the game. There's slashes happen. That's not going to be the last time he's going to be slashed, and it's not the last time I've ever been slashed. So, I feel bad because you miss time, and one of those things that's unfortunate. But, for me, I'm going to prepare the same way and try and help my team get 2 points because it's a big game for us.
As for the Calgary Flames lineup, it'll be the exact same as what you saw on Wednesday, which means Brett Kulak and Hunter Shinkaruk, the odd men out. It's the Flames and the Wild, 7 o'clock from the Dome. We're on the air at 6 with your Flames warm-up live on Sportsnet 9 at 60 The Fan from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge with Steinberg, Wills, and Labardius.
It's the story of the day, but I don't think it should be, but that does. I don't get to dictate the stories of the day, Pat. Will there be retribution tonight? What, you know, did Bruce Boudreau and, you know, coach his team or tell his team to go after John? All of that stuff resurfaces today. Those questions get asked. Kind of complicating and maybe undermining my position on this is the fact that the Wild go out and bring up Curtis Gabriel from the American Hockey League, who's probably not here to man the point on the power play and isn't playing goal tonight.
And yet, you can kind of understand why. As much as I don't think the Wild have a guilty conscience or are feeling remorseful, or, like, you know, we heard it from Bruce Boudreau earlier today. We just heard it from Eric Staal. There was no intent. It's unfortunate, so on and so forth. But I think they also are cognizant of the situation in that, hey, you know what? The Flames might be mad, and there might be a little bit of a feel for that. I just don't. Okay, if Curtis Gabriel's in, he is a little bit more prone towards being the tough guy. He's had 130-plus minutes the last two seasons playing in the American Hockey League. But, I mean, what is that going to... Okay, see, maybe he fights Derek Englund, or maybe, you know, Chris Stewart fights Derek Engeland. How does that really deter and or solve anything that happened?
And I'm not saying it's not going
to earlier than November.
Well, I'm not saying it's not going to happen because who knows what's going to happen. That, you know, we'll find out. But it almost, and I'm not saying you're insulting him or anything, but it's almost insulting to suggest that Derek Engeland is that guy. I think Derek Engeland will stand up for his teammates. I think Derek Engeland has no problem getting involved, but I don't. Am I changing history to meet my own point of view here that, you know, I don't remember the last time Derek Engeland went over the boards to go get a guy.
Yeah, and I mean, look, he did take on skillfully two separate members of the Vancouver Canucks at the same time
breaking down
in April of 2015. But no, he didn't go out looking for them. He didn't go out and say, "Give me two Canucks." Like it was, yeah. It all kind of happened as part of the game and how that whole fracas went. So no, I don't know if we're going to see anything that would be naturally considered retribution. I don't think somebody's running Zach Parise from behind. I don't think there's a bounty out on Eric Staal's head, despite the conversation that you overheard earlier in the day. I don't think that's going to happen. If you are just joining us, disregard that. It means nothing.
No, we got some, you know, exclusive audio here at Sportsnet 960 The Fan that, you know, really does kind of, you know.
This is what Rob overheard earlier in the dressing room between Mark Giordano and Flames general manager Brad Treleving. It paints a somewhat disturbing picture for tonight.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
I just did.
Go get him, killer!
Go get him, killer. By the way, Curtis Gabriel, out of control. He's had three fights in the American Hockey League this year.
Oh, retribution.
So anyway, okay, so we went down that path. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, honestly, Pat, please, you know, cozy up to your radio, because here's what I think the story is tonight. I think the story is two Calgary born and trained goaltenders facing each other, and they're playing really, really well right now. Devin Dubnyk and Chad Johnson. That's what I really think the story is.
I'm with you. You've got two guys that play their minor hockey here, that were developed in their formative years here, and even more than that, it's not just that, it's the fact they're playing some of the best hockey at the position of anyone on the planet right now. Chad Johnson's November run, his last eight starts are ridiculous. The 17 starts Devin Dubnyk has made this season, .946 save percentage. He might be having the best season of any goaltender in the National Hockey League right now. Him or Carey Price are probably in the running for that.
It's a conversation, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's pretty cool to see these guys go head-to-head regardless. The fact that they're both Calgary-developed products is even cooler for me.
So the Flames and Wild, game two of the three-game homestand for Calgary. Don't forget Section 227 tonight, the Flames Foundation and the Flames Better Halves hosting the Toy Drive for Teens and Tots in honor of Emerson Stajan. So you go see him at Section 227, 5:30 until the end of the first intermission. It's a great, great initiative, and they got a lot of toys last year, so go help them out at Section 227 tonight. All the action right here, Sportsnet 960 The Fan, a 7 o'clock puck drop from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Sticking in the NHL, but away from action, the NHLPA has formally rejected the league's offer to allow participation in the 2018 Olympics in exchange for an extension of the current CBA by 3 years. NHLPA Executive Director Donald Fierce says the players, primarily the executive board, showed no interest in the idea. He says he hopes that the deal is, there's still going to be an agreement made for the Olympics, but right now there's no interest from the NHLPA to extend the current CBA. So under the plan, obviously the NHL would have greenlit participation in the Olympics in 2018. But guys, the NHLPA doesn't want to go there.
Look, you know, it was kind of weird when it first came out, right? That you know, we were kind of following the story that IIHF said, we'll cover the insurance. And Gary Bettman said, no, we don't want development money used to cover the insurance for the players. But, well, you know, we'll let you go if you'll take, you know, give us a 3 year. It kind of caught us all flat-footed and off guard. So clearly what was established at that point, Pat, was we're prepared to negotiate. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised that we're here today. You know, maybe this is going to take well into January, and maybe there is common ground to be found, but it's not giving 3 years.
I remember as soon as the story was first out there that this was the case, I remember having Renaud Lavoie the next day, and he said, don't expect them to accept this offer. In fact, I can see no way how they go about this, because the NHLPA is not happy with the current CBA. They don't like the escrow situation. They want that change. So to extend the CBA for 3 more years beyond what it is right now, you know, that doesn't really enter into the conversation for them, because right. They know that they need to make changes on their end of things. Yep. So I'm not surprised by that. And the feel is that it probably doesn't go anywhere immediately from here. This is kind of shelved. And in terms of a counter CBA proposal, I don't know if there's going to be anything there. What I'm interested in, though, in terms of continuing the conversation, is whether or not there is, if this is just another salvo in the Olympic conversation, if the NHLPA comes back to the NHL, says, what about this, because we'd like to go. I just don't think it's going to have anything to do with the CBA necessarily.
So the NHLPA rejects the National Hockey League's offer to extend the current CBA by three years.
Go ahead. I need to jump in here. It'll have to be CBA related. But extension related.
Sorry, it will not be extension related. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't even think it'll be I'm trying to think of the right word.
Remember, we have this extra 5-day break for all teams this year because the NHL wanted to go to a 3-on-3 format at the All-Star game. That was the negotiation that they came up there. So just to give some context of the history of that.
Yeah, and I don't feel like it'll be a massive CBA thing. I don't think they're going to be asking for 55% of the
removal of escrow.
Yeah, I don't. It might be something small, but yeah, and they're going to probably have to give the NHL something for them to do this. But yeah, it's not going to be extension related.
So there you go. The NHLPA does not want to extend the CBA in exchange for Olympic participation in 2018. The final story and headlines today, kind of a two-parter. We'll start with the world of golf, as the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas, a golf tournament in December, usually doesn't get this much mainstream media or mainstream coverage, but because of the return of Tiger Woods, it is, and today he lived up to the hype as he went through a 7-hole stretch without missing a shot and an 18 holes without making a bogey. The result, a 7-under 65, and that means he's going to make the cut. He's 6-under, he's 6 shots back, but guys, pretty significant, the fact that Tiger Woods is back in a golf tournament, and today he brought the fist pump back, no bogeys. There's some thought out there that Tiger Woods is looking good in this tournament.
Pat, am I allowed to get excited?
I allow you to get excited, yeah. If you're asking for my permission, then you have it.
When do we get excited?
I
mean, some people won't get excited, but those people will still come back to golf. Tiger Woods is good for golf, let's be perfectly honest.
He's good for ratings, and he's good for sports. Yeah. And it's, look, he's still, you know, the best or one of the two or three best of all time, depends on
in his
where
prime.
Absolutely. And when we look back at Tiger Woods' career, I think that it's not going to be out of the question to consider him the greatest golfer of all time. Some might have different opinions, but man, it's good to see him back and playing like or similar to the Tiger of old. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and Sunday. We've seen some rounds where he's been in the mix, even at majors. We've seen some rounds where he's been in the mix on Thursday and Friday and then completely falls off after making the cut or something like that. So I'm curious to see what Saturday and Sunday bring.
All right, I'll wait then. I won't get ahead of myself.
And the final parter on headlines today,
this one's for Pat!
Formula One champion Nico Rosberg shocked the world today, retiring at the age of 31, 5 days after earning his first world championship in Formula One. Today, quote from Rosberg, I've decided to end my Formula One career. I've had a very, very clear dream. That was to become Formula One champion. I have achieved this childhood dream now, and I'm not willing to do that sort of commitment again, end quote.
It's one of the most surprising yet unsurprising things I've ever read. And what I mean by that is I certainly wasn't expecting it. And being a Formula One nerd myself, when I read the news, and the guy who, the most surprising person to tip me off to the news today was Will Nault. He texted me. The first thing I saw when I woke up was like, what is he doing texting me something about Nico Rosberg? Will doesn't like F1. But it's incredible because didn't see it coming. And then when it happens and you read his reasoning, it's not a surprise at all. So for the last 3 years, Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton have been battling for the F1 World Championship, and Lewis won the first 2 years, and this year was as tense and as heated as it's ever been before. And Lewis Hamilton is one of the most difficult teammates. Teammates aren't teammates in F1. They battle against each other. They like and Lewis Hamilton's one of the most difficult people to be teammates with. And this is not a criticism, because I respect it about the man, but he cares about one thing and one thing only, and that's winning. And if you watch the final race, and
that's
But it is at all costs, and it is
So you respect it in him, but you don't like it in me. I just, that doesn't make
I respect
any,
you the you same way I respect res- Lewis
you
Hamilton.
You respect him.
You should have seen the final race, the way that the tactics that he used to try to get himself a third consecutive world championship. It was against team orders. It was against what the team wanted. It was not best for Mercedes-Benz, and yet he still did it because it's at all costs. And the mind games that he plays and the difficulty that it would be and the type of personality Rosberg is doesn't surprise me. Just imagine, though. 31, you still have 4 or 5 years of driving the very best car in the world, so potentially having the best opportunity to win more championships, and you decide to call it a career. That's a pretty ballsy move.
So, the Flames and Wild at the Dome tonight. The NHLPA has rejected the league's offer of extending the CBA in exchange for Olympic participation. Tiger Woods shoots a 7-under 65, and a correction on that story, thanks to the text line. For pointing it out, I did not realize there is no cut at this tournament, but still doesn't take away from a terrific day for Tiger Woods. And Formula One champion Nico Rosberg has retired at the age of 31. Those are your headlines today.
Well, I'm glad you learned your lesson, because I knew all along there was no cut, and I was just trying to teach you a lesson, Will.
Thanks, Rob.
Oh, that's the kind of leader I am. That's why Pat doesn't respect me.
Never will.
When we come back, Derek Wills will join us. Our daily Calgary Flames roundtable as the Flames get set to host the Minnesota Wild. Pat, who's going to join you on Flames warm-up tonight?
Derek Wills, Peter Labardius, and Minnesota Wild General Manager Chuck Fletcher will be in studio with us live at 6:10 to take a look at this 11-8-3 start to the season for the Wild.
Derek, when we come back, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. The Land of Quattro sales event is on. Get lease and finance rates from 0.9% and Quattro bonus up to $4,000. Visit glenmoreaudi.com.
Sportsnet 960, telling Calgary sports story on the air and online. Sportsnet.ca/960. The Big Show is brought to you by Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at the Comedy Cave. Just $35 per person, including dinner and a show. Click ComedyCave.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of
Eric Staal.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
I just did.
Go get him, killer!
Get him, killer. As we convene our daily Calgary Flames roundtable, I'm Rob. He's Pat. Derek Wills joins us, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames. Derek, you were sort of the last person on of the day. Well, maybe not the last person, but your opportunity now to weigh in. Big story when it happened. The last time these two teams played, it's cost Johnny Gaudreau and the Flames, you know, his work, if you will, his employment, well, not his employment, but his participation. Here we are tonight. Is this a story going in? Are we expecting retribution tonight?
I don't think so. It's just not the way the game is played anymore. And, I mean, they've brought up Curtis Gabriel. Okay, so here's a guy who's played in 3 career NHL games. And he's been in 2 career NHL fights. Both against the Jets, but against tough guys. Big guys.
Yeah.
Chris Thorburn and Anthony Peluso. So there's a pretty good chance that he's going to try to make that recall worthwhile and drop the gloves with somebody tonight. But I don't think that the Flames are going to goon it up and go after Ryan Suter or Eric Staal or Zach Parise if they want to go after their star player to try to get retribution for what happened to Johnny Gaudreau. I think you try to get that retribution if you have an opportunity to maybe hit a guy a little bit harder but clean.
Yeah.
Or just to beat the Wild where it matters most on the scoreboard.
That to me is it, right?
Yeah.
And you won the last game, Pat. So, I mean, it's great. It's great fodder, and it's a great discussion. And as I said to you before, I think part of it is kind of, if nothing else, just a reminder of where we're at right now in this game.
Well, and I also know that it's a story for a lot of you listening right now. I mean, I can tell you the texts and tell you the tweets that have come in and have said the Flames should be, and I'll be disappointed if they don't go out and look for retribution tonight, which I don't agree with. I'm on the other side of the fence, not only because I believe that it's A, counterproductive to trying to win a hockey game that they need to win, and B, because it's not, as you've both said, not really the way that things are done in this league anymore. I also think that, you know, I still believe it is, whether you like it or not, a part of the game and happens in every single game to star players. And that's not to reignite the conversation about whether it should be cracked down on or whether the league should look at officials calling it tighter or should take that. That's completely different conversation. The fact is, as it stands right now, like it or not, it is part of the game and it does happen to star players. And it's happened to Zach Parise on the other side and it's happened to Johnny Gaudreau now, and if you're going to go after somebody every time a slash is administered, well, then Troy Brouwer is going to have to be answering the bell on the Flames side. I don't know if you saw the slash that he gave Mitch Marner on Wednesday.
I did. Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing. So I guess that's why I also think the retribution angle is a little overplayed tonight.
And the funny thing is, the day after that slash happened, or the slash has happened versus the Wild back on November 15th, Troy Brouwer was the one guy who stood up and said, it's part of the game. Yeah. I do it too.
Yeah.
Now, does he do it to the extent that the Wild did it in that game? In my opinion, no. You see it once in a while from a veteran guy like Troy Brouwer, and there are other guys around the league that do it as well. But what happened in that game on November 15th was way beyond what I've seen happen in any other game this season. And maybe we don't make a big deal about it if he doesn't get hurt. If he doesn't break his finger and get knocked out of the lineup for
weeks. Well,
to that
point, if Brouwer breaks Mitch Marner's hand,
now
right.
It's a story again.
Now it's a story again. And then, you know what? Then it's, well, the Flames had a guy out, and then they did it, and now is this an epidemic, and it's a completely different animal, to your point. If Staal hits him and it bounces off and away, we're not talking about this. We're talking about two Calgary goalies facing each other tonight.
Absolutely. What a story that is.
Exactly.
And just to circle back to kind of where we started
here. Yeah, please.
Boy, it was great to see Johnny Gaudreau and Lance Boma back on the ice with the team for a full morning skate today. They again were wearing those yellow no-contact jerseys, but you guys watched them as closely as I did. They did not look very limited. Now, with Lance Boma, I'm sure he's going to get to a point where he's got to go through those one-on-one contract drills so that the team feels comfortable and that he feels comfortable in his return to the lineup. Johnny Gaudreau's not going to be put through that process, but those two guys look like they're getting close.
Well, and Boma stressed today a number of times. He was pretty adamant, feeling really good, but I'm not there yet. And he kept saying, I'm not there yet. So it's not quite, but he's definitely close. And all that it is, as he said today, for him is about getting that strength back in the shoulder. So that's the biggest thing for him. So he's really hitting the gym and really working on strengthening that. And then for Gaudreau, I think it's all about whenever the medical staff feel with extra protection, if there is going to be some, and just with the overall healing process, whenever there's no risk for him to be re-injured, whether it's now or in a week's time or whatever, then I think he's back in the lineup too. So I don't think we're far away on it on either front.
There's one thing I haven't seen Boma do, and that's throw a body check.
Yep.
He's wearing a no-contact jersey, so that's not going to happen until the color of that jersey changes. The one thing I have not seen Johnny Gaudreau do is take a slap shot. I've seen him take wrist shots and snap shots, no slap shots, so maybe that's part of the process as well. But good to see those guys skating with the team. And generally speaking, Rob, through my experience, when guys start skating with the team, they're usually about a week away. So they started skating on Wednesday, so we'll see where they're at.
You know what? That's funny you say it that way, that in my experience, because I'm right there with you. What I have no experience of is kind of the unique situation that I think adds into this story, that the Flames put out a tweet today saying, hey, Johnny Gaudreau and Lance Boma will be participating in Super Skills. Now, there's no body-checking component to that or anything like that, but if you're bringing guys back and you're kind of easing them back in, you're not putting them into that. You're not putting them into an exhibition if you're nervous at all.
Exactly.
Right?
Right? Now, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay.
Now, those two guys might not participate in an event like Fastest Skater, Of all the events at a skills competition,
absolutely.
That's the one where you kind of worry about somebody pulling a groin or somebody, blowing a tire or
something along those lines. Dro, what's a finger going to do to deter him in fastest skater? Maybe we do see him in that. That might be the best one for him. Who knows?
This is the same organization. It's not a slight against the organization, but this is the same organization. And poor Curtis McElhinney and Jamie McLennan were the only goalies in Super Skills while Mika Kiprusoff was here because he didn't participate.
Yep.
And he was healthy. Right, but he just didn't want. They didn't want to risk anything, right?
It's great news for me,
and it
because
wasn't
I
necessarily Kipper style.
Right, I get to call this thing tomorrow. Yeah. I can't wait. Lou and I are going to call it. Pat is going to host it.
Yeah,
inside the arena, and great news for the fans coming out to Scotiabank Saddledome. I mean, $10. You get to watch a practice, and you get to watch the Super Skills. Yeah. What a great day for the family here at the Dome.
Again, this is a day of the Leeds getting buried, aren't they? Rhett and Boomer are coaching.
About those goalies.
Well, yeah, exactly. But Boomer and Redder coaching guys. All right. About those goalies. I do want to get the goalies. Something you said right away, Pat. The text line and tweets. Predominantly wanting retribution.
No, I wouldn't say predominantly because I think.
But there's a voice there that's saying.
It's a 50-50 split in that the other side that's. Guys, if they're going to start having retribution for every slash that's going to get out of control, and there's been some that says you can't crack down on every slash because now guys are going to be raising their hands after every little whack on the gloves. So they're definitely seeing it both ways on the text line. I do know that there has been a voice that says. I've read a couple that have said I'll be disappointed if they don't do something tonight, which I think that's why I think as much as some would say, guys, you're making a story out of nothing. I don't think it is because we're not the only ones thinking and talking about it.
Outside of picking up 2 points tonight, which is priority number one, because you're playing a team that come March and April, you might be fighting with for a playoff spot. So that is what you want to do tonight. That's the best way to get retribution. The one thing that if I'm a Flames fan, I wouldn't mind seeing tonight is Michael Ferland, who has been a human wrecking ball this season, finish a body check on one of their better players, a clean body check. There have been three separate incidents this season where Michael Ferland has hit a guy so hard that you could tell within a split second that guy was hurt.
Yeah.
And they've been some of the better players in the NHL. Oliver Ekman-Larsson comes to mind. So if you want to see retribution, Michael Ferland can certainly... he can provide some punishment for the Wild tonight, and he can do it in a legal way.
Just don't go looking for it. That's the only. Don't go out there with that in your mind.
Guys, we all know where I drift to. I think it's significant that we're having this conversation because I think it's somewhat of a referendum of where the game is going and where the game has come from.
It's changed.
It has changed.
How many goons are in the league now?
Well, that's exactly it.
Can you think of one? Like goon, a guy who can only fight and can't play.
Michael Haley in San Jose.
And how often does he play?
Yeah.
Like very, very
rarely.
No, thank you for saying that because I think that's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly
Like
it.
Derek Engelin is tough.
Right.
But he's not a goon.
No. This is, to me, the best part of it, the game tonight. Two goalies, opposite ends. Calgary, born Calgary raised. Mm-hmm. They played their minor hockey here. They're both, as Pat has said, numerous times today. Right now, as we sit, two of the hotter goalies in the National Hockey League, Chad Johnson facing Devan Dubnyk. I think this is really cool.
As a matter of fact, you look at the two games being played in the NHL tonight and the four goaltenders that will be between the pipes. In the other game, you've got Carey Price versus Martin Jones.
Oh,
like, what a great matchup in net that is as well. But, the stories that surround this battle between the pipes tonight, just awesome. Two Calgary kids and two guys who have had long and bumpy and winding roads to becoming, in Dubnyk's case, a legitimate number one. And I think at this point you can call him an elite goaltender in the National Hockey League. And in Johnson's case, a guy who's trying to be that guy to prove that he can be a true number one. And I don't think, to your point this afternoon, you guys talked about it, I don't think that he's going to be able to do that this season. Even if he keeps playing the way he's been playing for the rest of the season, I think you need to do it in another season.
He opens the conversation.
For sure he does.
Yeah. And what becomes interesting is that you don't have him for another season.
Yet.
And what do you... but it's kind of the Dubnyk thing, Pat, right? You know, Devan Dubnyk goes to Minnesota, puts up these numbers that have never... He's never shown you before. How do you compensate him? What deal do you give him?
And right now, the deal that they gave him looks good. Like it
yes,
looks
it,
But you can be burnt on those. And it is somewhat...
Can you imagine that the Philadelphia Flyers re-up Michael Layton after he got him to a Stanley Cup final?
Michael Layton just played his first game in the NHL last week.
What, in 5 years?
In 5 years.
Those mistakes happen all the time,
And that's why I'm...
On the Emmy.
Yeah,
that's why I'm such a stickler when we talk about these things for erring on the extreme side of caution because of how many times you have been burned. But at the same time... You've got a scouting group. You've got hockey operations people to make those decisions, and they read it right on Devan Dubnyk's case. Like I remember how, and you know what else, Rob? To your credit, like when we had that conversation 2 years ago about Corey Schneider's deal, you know what? The Devils were right. And as much as I was saying I don't like that deal, Devils got it right on Corey Schneider.
Yeah, they got it right, Pat. But just let me finish the thought, though. Your line of thinking was not incorrect. He had never shown the penchant for playing the number and volume of games. We all thought he could, but he hadn't to that point.
Yep.
It worked. But if it doesn't work, Derek, boy, that's a lot to commit.
Yeah, see, the difference for me with Corey Schneider is that he was stuck on a Canucks team where he wasn't going to be the number one guy for
a while.
And they got good return for him in Bo Horvat.
Right.
And he's a guy who had a really good pedigree as a first-round pick.
Right.
And people expected him to be a very good goaltender in the NHL.
Yep.
Did they expect him to be an elite guy? Maybe, maybe not. I think the Devils did. But in Dubnyk's case, yes, he was a first-round pick, but he had been written off during his time with the Oilers and then briefly with the Predators and then the Canadiens. And I can tell you, in the AHL with the Bulldogs, he was brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the next year, pretty good start with the Coyotes. Gets traded for a third-round pick. All he's done since then is lead the league in games played, shutouts, goals against average, and save percentage.
See, I didn't know the league. I did not know games played. Are you talking about since he's come to Minnesota?
Since he arrived with the Wild.
He's led the league
in all
games
of those
played categories
and second in wins.
Yeah, well, Carey Price may have had a role to play in that if he hadn't got injured.
True, but still awfully impressive.
Then, even if you're second, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's funny, we were talking about that. Freddie Anderson. I mean, the Leafs gave Freddie Anderson that big contract. Remember October when that looked like a
and
disaster?
Gave up a lot to get him, not a third-round pick.
That's right. And they gave up, and, you know, it's not a disaster anymore.
No, he but looks like a much better goaltender,
but
right?
Is he what that contract is?
Well,
I'm not sure we're going to know until that team improves defensively.
Well, and you know
because
what?
Because you look at what Dubnyk played behind in Edmonton, how could you even evaluate him?
Yeah. No, I don't know what.
But on the Dubnyk front, maybe he takes a step back and the contract doesn't look good. It's not trending that way. I don't think it's going to happen. And one other point on Devan Dubnyk. There's been a lot made about how strong defensively the Minnesota Wild are this year. I think that is somewhat of a wives' tale, and that's somewhat of a fallacy. This team is not in front of him all that strong defensively.
They give up a lot of shots.
They give up a lot of shots. They're one of the bottom third possession teams in the National Hockey League.
What's his home plate save percent?
It's out of control, and his overall save percent. Devan Dubnyk is the primary, almost sole reason why the Minnesota Wild are number two in the NHL in goals against. It's not because we're talking about the Jacques Lemaire-coached Minnesota Wild. When they give up as many shots and generate as few shots as they do, and I've watched him play a lot. Like, Devan Dubnyk is the primary reason for this.
I agree with that. But how many quality scoring opportunities do they give up? Because in my opinion, not a lot. They're going to let you take shots from the outside. They're not going to let you get to the areas where you can really generate those grade-A chances, in my opinion. That's what I've seen. They've got a pretty good defense core, and they've got a lot of really good two-way forwards. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys disagree.
Well, it's an accurate statement, too.
I think
it is
accurate. But I think they've been struggling lately, and I think Boudreau pointed to that.
Yeah.
It's funny. We look at the totality of the record. Coaches don't. And I don't think Boudreau's very happy with their last 10.
In terms of their overall possession game, they're not great. In terms of what they do inside their own end, yes, they do a nice job. They're one of the better teams in the NHL, in fact, in terms of limiting high-danger scoring chances. That is 100% accurate. But to say that they're like this lockdown team, and
they're not
quite that, and Dubnyk is a huge part of what they're
and
doing.
And when you give up five goals to the Canucks, like they did in their last game, Boudreau's not going to be happy with that.
You know what they are? They're a Western Conference team, and by that very nature, they're flawed right now.
Yeah, that's well said.
Because that's what the West is, right?
Yeah, and thankfully for the Flames, that's what the West is. That they're well, if they win tonight, they're in a playoff spot. Like, how mind-boggling is that?
But here's the one that it means nothing to this game because it's a home game. But technically, this statement is true. The Calgary Flames have the second-best road record in the National Hockey League. Mm-hmm. Let that sit in, or let that settle in for a second.
I know.
That's how bizarre this year is. And that's the only reason I can say that is because only the Oilers have more points on the road than the Flames right now, which is really bizarre. But that's this season. That's this season.
And at American Thanksgiving, the Flames were on pace for 71 points to finish the season. They're now on pace for 76 points. So it is trending upward. And that's not me being tongue-in-cheek and cheeky at all. They are trending up in terms of what we've seen from them. They've got points in 7 of 10 and wins in 6 of 10. So they've turned this into a pretty nice stretch for themselves.
Thanks in large part to who?
Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson.
Calgary Gold.
Derek Wills.
Radio voice of the Calgary Flames joining us on the Flames Roundtable. Bye-bye. We'll put you back to work in just a little over an hour with Flames warm-ups. Calgary gets set to take on the Minnesota Wild. It is the big show brought to you by the Comedy Cave. Comedy is simple. ComedyCave.com, $10. That's what it costs to get in. Still, I think if you want to host a Christmas party and you're looking for a place, dare I say, the Comedy Cave might be able to bail you out here in the next couple of weeks. We'll take a break. When we come back, the most dangerous man employed at Sportsnet 960, The Fan, joins us because he's got a new project and he threatened us, and so now we're letting him come on. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show is brought to you by Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at the Comedy Cave. Just $35 per person, including dinner and a show. Click ComedyCave.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You hear that, do you, Pat? You know what that means, don't you?
And now, entering the studio, Sportsnet 960's most dangerous man, Peter Klein.
True words have never been spoken.
And G.
G's there too, but
G's there too. But G's, but you're not the wrestling fan, G.
And Kleiner kind of is.
And Kleiner's kind of a noted criminal.
That's
quite
true.
Honestly, I mean, of all of the people that work,
he stole
for
my
us,
heart. If
he
anything,
he flaunts the law.
Yeah.
Peter Klein flaunts the law.
More laugh in the face of it, but yeah, I mean, tomato, tomato.
Kleiner, what did you think of the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock's entrance music?
I loved
it. How happy are you for that?
To steal a pro wrestling term, I popped pretty hard for that one. I appreciate it.
He's popping all over the place.
That's offside.
So here's the deal, kids. Pete and G join us because you guys have a new project and it launches tomorrow. Tell us about it.
It's Combat Central on from 4 to 6, going to be talking each week about the UFC and WWE. If there's a big boxing thing, we're going to be talking about it as well. But that's kind of why I thought the Ken Shamrock theme was kind of fitting, because he was UFC and then WWE, and we're going to be doing both mixed martial arts and professional wrestling every week. So we've been prepping for our first show. And I'm like a kid in a candy store right now. I'm extremely fired up that I get to talk about this stuff every week.
It's true. I've never seen him happier.
So when you cover for Pat now, I don't have to give you a couple minutes to talk about Raw anymore?
No. I have my own forum to talk about it as much as I want to.
It's true, and I help.
Okay. And you help. All right. Oh, well, I'm glad the two of you have this thing figured out. So give us a little sample. Give us a little sense of 5 o'clock tomorrow. What are we going to hear? What's it all about?
We have a chat with Mike Johnston from Sportsnet.ca to preview tomorrow's Ultimate Fighter 24 finale with Demetrius Johnson against Tim Elliott. We're also going to break down the news of the week from MMA with the new Fighters Association that might be starting. Also, Ari Tobe from Hard Knocks Fighting. Is going to join us to talk about their card next weekend, Friday at Winsport.
Yeah, we just want to bring in a little bit of local content as well, as you should. And then we obviously break down the wrestling world as well. So, you know, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown as well.
All right, boys, I gotta ask you then your thoughts on, okay, there is the Mixed Martial Arts Fighters Association news that came down earlier this week, but the news of just over a week ago, give us a little preview if you were to break this down this weekend. Conor McGregor has been stripped of his featherweight championship. He is now just a single belt holder. GU first, did the UFC make the right call here in trying to save a pay-per-view by doing this?
They have to, because you can't have one guy dominating two divisions just like that, because how are you going to sell tickets? And then once Conor moved up to lightweight, that's his weight. He won't move down, because that's just it right there. You can't have Conor McGregor, the biggest draw in not only mixed martial arts, but boxing, combat sports in general. You can't have him in two divisions. This is the right call, in my opinion.
it was a little awkward the way it happened. I'm pretty sure there was a little under the table type of talk with between him and Dana White. But in my opinion, this was easily the right call.
To me, it makes the featherweight title now seem so pointless. You know, like I feel it takes so much of the value away from it because now it's just Jose Aldo is one of the best fighters of all time, but it's just here. Have this title now. Mm. I mean, you want an interim one, and we're going to create another interim one for some reason, but it's just you didn't beat the champion to have it. You just had it handed to you. And so I think it takes a lot of what prestige there was to the featherweight title away from it. And it's a title that I don't – it's a weight class that doesn't really have a lot of prestige with it right now. So I think if you could have built up another – you have another Jose Aldo fight, have him fight the winner of Max Holloway and Anthony Pettis and have the winner of that take on Conor McGregor. And instead of having three or four relatively interesting for hardcore fans fights at 145 for the title, build up one or two that fans really get behind, I think you could have built up the division that way. It's asking a lot of Conor to bounce around 10 pounds in weight.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing. Weight cut is a huge, huge issue.
And I don't know if he ever had a desire to go back to 145.
No, exactly.
But the way it was done was a little weird for me.
Well, hey, well, gentlemen, you're on our show.
I'm sorry. Quit doing your own show.
I enjoyed that.
Why are you cutting them off?
Because
that was good.
They're ruining their own show, Pat. They've got their own show tomorrow.
Sorry.
No, they're,
let's still be
no
friends.
Such thing. They're sitting ruining there fight. Own.
They're fighting.
That's a good preview
they're
for tomorrow.
Fighting.
Now you guys are fighting. Be friends.
Why are you doing this?
Share meals and stuff.
Let's get inside the octagon.
Let's get inside the octagon. Indeed.
I have a picture of you and I from UFC 149
That's
or whatever it was right here, right in front of the octagon. Next
That's
time
right.
we're getting in it. I think Bruce Hart's here.
I just have to utter one thing about all the arts and the wrestling and everything that's going hand in hand. And for the two people in this room, I really appreciate that you support the process and get along. Thank you.
Is Cedric here? Can Cedric make a quick of Cedric Hathaway, famous...
Mr. Klein and Mr. G, I don't like the way you're acting tonight. I'm your boss. I could get rid of you tonight if I wanted to.
I think that's where we'll leave it.
I can't top that.
Combat
I
Central
that.
Is at what time, gentlemen?
It's from 4 to 6 tomorrow. Most of the time it's probably going to be 5 to 7, but this weekend, because of the Hitman game, we're on from 4 to 6.
Guys, I'm pulling for you. I hope it works. You know, I it seems to me a little bit risky. I'm not sure if anybody really watches the wrestling or the MMA. I don't know if it's popular.
Boys, it's been a long time coming.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Boys,
no.
I'm very proud of you.
Congratulations.
It's right up my alley. I'm very happy to see this starting tomorrow.
Congratulations. You guys deserve it, and it's going to be big. I know that, and I look forward to having you guys on in the future to promote it. So, guys, enjoy it. We'll be listening tomorrow at 4.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Let's be friends.
Let's be friends indeed. G and Pete, and tomorrow, 4 o'clock, normally 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
Combat Central?
Combat Central, yep.
That's kind of original.
I like it.
2 o'clock.
It fits in with what we're doing at Sportsnet.
2 o'clock.
Can I Bautista bomb you right to the
Yes, you can. Coming up at 2 o'clock tomorrow, our conversation with... Tom Rennie.
Not if I Bautista bomb you through the table.
No, it's already taped, Pat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm securing my own future.
Then we're good.
What's coming up at 6 o'clock?
Chuck Fletcher, the general manager of the Minnesota Wild, will not be having any wrestling special moves put on him when he joins the Bardius Wills and I as part of Flames warm-up. We'll hear from Mark Giordano, the captain of the Calgary Flames, Glenn Gulletson, head coach of the Calgary Flames as well. We're busy at the top of the hour from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge.
And we'll take you there with Flames at 5 for Pete DePlumber, the superhero residential plumbing and heating. We've chock full it of great guests this hour, including Eric Francis, brought to you by the Beltliner. Eric DeHatchuk will join us, and then coming up a little later on Inside Hockey for Calgary Co-op, our pal Candace Gowdy. It's Foundation Night here at the Dome tonight for this game between the Wild and the Flames. We'll find out what that means. Francis, when we return, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Some guests on Sportsnet 960 appear on the South Street Burger guest hotline. Enjoy a huge selection of free premium toppings, including wasabi-infused mayonnaise, guacamole, and our famous signature sauce. Now with 4 locations to serve you.